This is a Crowd podcast.
Hi, we're Football Book Club podcast, and we need your support. Now, let's drop the appeal music. Hi, everyone. James here, and I just want to tell you about the brand new Football Book Club Club, which you can join to receive bonus weekly episodes, access to exclusive member events, and your very own Football Book Club bookmark, all for the same price as a used copy of Darren Huckabee's 2007 book, Hucks. So if you enjoy the podcast and need to hear more afterwards, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Enjoy the episode. Craig Bellamy, attacker and temperamental Welsh wizard. Played for Liverpool, Cardiff, Man City, Coventry, Blackburn, Newcastle, Norwich, Celtic and West Ham. League Cup winner, Champions League runner-up, 78 caps for Wales, 5 for the Great Britain Olympic team, remember them? Loves a round of golf with John Arnarisa, plus author. But let's see what the book club and our guest Steph Guerrero thought of Craig's 2013 book, Goodfella, in this week's Football Book Club.
Kieran Dyer, his financial advisor, and John Fashion, who all said it was fine.
I do feel like I should have said earlier that if we're going to carry on with these court proceedings, Martin O'Neill should probably be here.
Oh, it's my old boss grandpa. Hi. Hi, boss grandpa.
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Catch-22, more Ethan Ampadu.
Yes.
That kind of works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Steph loves it.
Was that something a listener sent in, or was that one of yours?
How long has been spent on that?
Because that's dependent on the reaction that I get.
It was a listener.
Yeah. Oh, I love that thing.
It was me.
That's smart.
No, it was someone called Halcyon Publishing. That was a whole publishing house.
Wow.
They must have spent a long time on it.
Yeah.
they probably had like meetings, intensive like brainstorms.
Okay, what books we got? Yeah.
We've got Andy McNabb, Phil Babb. Yeah. No, that doesn't work.
We haven't had that. Oh. That's better than most of the ones we get sent.
Come on.
So no offense to our lovely listeners.
Forget Catch 22.
Right, cut that out and we'll use it next week.
Yeah, edit round me.
And thanks to Steph Guerrero for sending in...
Think of this as a writing meeting, guys.
I'm James Berg, and over the weeks we'll be reading classics on the show, such as Rob Lee's Come In number 37 and Ewan Roberts's All I Want for Christmas. But today we're reading Craig Bellamy's Goodfella, written with the journalist Oliver Holt, and reading it with me, Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
James Balgin.
Hello.
And please welcome to the show, broadcaster and star of the brilliant socially distant sports bar, Steph Guerrero.
The third best one from the socially distant sports bar.
No.
Absolutely. Ellis has said no. Mike's not into football enough. So I'm here. It's all good. It's fine.
Oh, God. Were you CC'd on that email?
Yeah. I get looped into all these fights.
Oh,
fine.
God.
Oh, no.
Okay.
To be honest, our second biggest guest we've had on the show was the guy who used to sell Christmas trees to Glenn Rhoda. So that was level of guests we have on the show.
That's fine. I fit in nicely then. This is good.
We've had loads of great guests. We've had loads of amazing guests, including yourself. How are you? Are you excited to talk about Wales's most misunderstood son today?
I love everything about Craig Bellamy. I love the nastiness, the petulance, the silliness. I love the fact that he's passionate about playing for Wales and still played for the Great Britain football team in the Olympics.
Was that controversial?
Oh, hugely. Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, okay. But I love the fact that he's just this contradiction. Yes. And I think that probably sums him up more than anything, is just, yeah, I'm massively passionate about Wales. Yes, I want to play for Great Britain.
Yeah.
Cool.
I know what you mean. And I think I went into this book with a lot of preconceptions about Craig Bellamy. And they were challenged.
I think, yeah, he's incredibly serious at the start. But
yeah.
Yeah, like really, really dark.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones where I started reading it and I thought, I don't think I've chosen the right book for this podcast. I don't think
this
fits.
The comedy podcast. We're all having a good time.
Yeah,
laughing
we're all
and joking.
Really enjoying this, and his mates are all on glue.
Or Glade.
Yes, sniffing air fresheners.
Is that a thing?
Different layer. Woof.
I did not realise that was a thing.
No. We are, as we've proven with when we talked about drugs in the past in the show, though, we have very little understanding of any of this. So, the world of Glade is something that's not been opened up to us so far.
I was a Febreze kind of guy, so I didn't really hear of the
I would
the
probably
Glade
try
stuff.
With, like, blue, you know, the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Plug-ins, not so much. The Glade plugins doesn't really, because that just fumes anyway. I don't think that's
just
that's,
stand over it and wait for the
yeah, just hovering over the plug socket
30 minutes.
Cool. So that's Glade chat sorted. That was the first segment of the show. So
every week we have to have a Glade chat, and usually it's quite hard to get in. So I'm glad we've got it in quite quickly.
Thanks to our sponsors, Glade, helping us with this perfect tie-in. So for those who haven't listened, Social Distance Sports Bar. Brilliant show, which you started just before lockdown or just as lockdown started?
Just as lockdown started. Yeah. Bang on sort of, it'll be a year ago now. Bang on a year ago. And yeah, part of the four. So we do YouTube clips, we do documentaries that are sports based, and then a book that we kind of talk about. But it just, it never is about that anyway. It's just,
no.
That's your jump off point, and then it goes massively off.
Well, it's yourself, it's James and Mike Bubbins, and it really is a great listen. But like I said, as you mentioned, you do read a book very often on there. Are you kind of fuming that, you know, you came on another podcast and we forced you to read another book in your time off from the show?
I thought, that's fine. That'll be okay.
Okay.
And then I would say 3 hours ago, I was like, he's at Liverpool for the first time. Hang on, he hasn't even gone to West Ham, Cardiff. Oh no.
This happens a lot when reading these books, where you're like, this is going to be fun. And then you get like, you're 500 pages in and you haven't yet, we've done like Stephen Gerrard's book. With
He hasn't been born yet.
You're like, oh God, he hasn't even had the first transfer rumour to Chelsea. What are we doing? It's a long, long slog.
Yes.
So thank you.
That's cool. It's cool.
James, obviously you're a big Liverpool fan as well. Big fan of Bellamy?
I've always loved Bellamy.
Okay.
And I'm going to call him Bellas.
Okay.
He's obviously a rascal.
But
I just find him incredibly likable, and I think he was a great exciting player, but I liked that he was, you know, especially with maybe sort of like, when was it, around the time 10, 12 years ago, he was one of the few players who would speak his mind. And I think we all remember that John Terry comment in that interview he did. He was very much like heart on his sleeve.
Yeah.
Said what he thought.
Yep.
Didn't really care.
Wait, what was the John Terry interview? Sorry.
It was after the Wayne Bridge game, wasn't it?
And he was just like, I don't want to talk about that guy. We know what he's like. We all know what he's like or something. Yeah.
Live on Sky Sports.
I loved that about him.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I've always had a soft spot for Bellamy. But yeah, I don't know. He obviously takes no prisoners, but I just think he sort of got away with it to a point because he was quite likable.
I think it says in the inlet of the book, it does say how, you know, if he plays for your team, you love him. If he doesn't, well, you're not too keen. And he never played for Spurs, but I feel like he did because he played for most teams. And he was linked to Spurs.
He almost played for Spurs.
He was linked to Spurs every 10 minutes. Like especially under Redknapp, we were always like, well, it's Bellamy time. It always seemed like the next logical step would be for that. So I've got a bit of a soft spot for him for that. But let's see if the book lived up to all our expectations as we read Craig Bellamy's Goodfella. Okay, over the show, we're going to go into more depth about the book. We'll have a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, and we'll be getting to know Craig and our new friend, Steph Guerrero. But first, let's see what Jackie Lofton. Here's our new friend.
Here's our new friend. Just, there's something quite creepy about saying we're going to get to know our new friend.
He's our new friend.
Yeah,
he is.
Welcome to our new friend. Like we've been forced into the same room together by like our parents. This is your new friend. Play nicely with Steph Guerrero.
One of your dad's work colleagues has turned up with a kid.
Yeah,
you don't want to socialise with him. He's got weird knitwear on, but you've got it. You've got to get on with it.
You've got lovely for the listeners. You've got lovely knitwear. Lovely knitwear on today, Steph.
Thank you.
Let him have a go on Pest 2. Don't hog it.
Should we see what Amazon's saying about the book?
Yes, yeah, please.
Let's go into it. The book has 4.4 stars. Brace yourselves. From 430 reviews. A lot of
shut
people
up.
Read that.
400 shut up.
I shall not shut up, Steph. That is the truth.
That's
remarkable.
Reviews. I thought it was quite an obscure book, but nope. Everyone's read it, apparently.
Wow.
Marcus Hanneman, for context, Steph. We read his book, his Premier League diary. Zero reviews that book had. And I think most of them usually are in the single figures, but this one, hugely read, apparently. There was this two-star review, though, from L6KRB, hiding behind a screen name, I assume. It was called Not Impressed, and it reads... It's a good review, this. I have read four biographies of footballers associated with Newcastle United over the holiday period. Terry Mack, Shay wow. Given, Craig Bellamy and Paul Ferris. And they were all typical and boringly consistent with professional footballers. The exception was Paul Ferris's autobiography, which is well written and interesting, revealing the issues of growing up in Belfast during the Troubles. His book outshone the other three books. So there we go. That was L6KRB's review of Paul Ferris's autobiography, apparently.
Terry McDermott didn't contain enough about the Troubles for him. Or neither did Bellamy.
Yeah.
So it's
like, yeah, Bellamy should have weighed in.
You've gone to the wrong section of the library, haven't you?
I want something by a Newcastle player, but I also really want to know about the history of Northern Ireland.
Perfect.
If only like Chris Brunt had played in that Olympics team or something, then he might have been able to weigh in on some Northern Ireland history or something, and everything would have been covered.
You can't say they were all terrible and out of four books and then say that one was okay. That's like 25% of those books was good. Yes. How dare you?
I mean, considering the hit rate on our show, that's pretty good.
That's good.
We'd take 25%.
But also, what a terrible holiday. My entire holiday reading four Newcastle United related biographies.
It was a miserable Christmas for L6KRB that year. I'm not sure what year you wrote that review, but it was a bad one. But what did we think of Craig's book? Steph, as we mentioned, you read a load of books on Sports Bar. Did this hold up?
For the first bit of it, I was just worried that I'd picked something that was way too Glade related. I don't know if you've ever read a book where a scout from Pentwyn Dynamos turns up in page 29 ready to sign him for the local Cardiff team, and I thought, this is too in-depth, this is too silly, but it's good. It's good. I wouldn't go further than good, actually. It's good.
Okay.
I was going to build. It's very good. It's not very good. It's good. Yeah, it's good is what it is.
I think that's probably the consensus, I'm going to guess, we're going to say on there. James, similar thoughts? Good?
Yeah, I'd say so. Good is probably the ceiling. But I think in some ways, I was thinking this is sort of more like the book that Jermaine Pennant should have been, in a way.
Oh, wow.
Like,
that's a good shout.
There was an element of self-reflection point. And a sort of desire to look at his past behaviour.
Immediately alienating Steph. The book that you haven't read.
But like, he takes responsibility for some of his past actions and reflects on it more so than Pennant does. Or like, Pennant kind of does, but then goes back on it. Whereas Bellamy seems to sort of, he takes some responsibility. He doesn't blame others too much, which I thought was quite good.
Yeah, it's quite psychological, a lot of it. He kind of, surprisingly so, he talks about the chimp complex. Is that what it's called?
He said all his work with Steve Peters. That sort of side of things surprised me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Same.
But then he also does justify every single sending off. As being, you know, and then I headbutted him.
And I was right to.
Yeah, and I was right to, but I can see why the ref sent me off.
I can see why, you know, one could see why headbutting is bad, but I would argue it's good.
Although if Matarazzi pinched me as well, I'd probably have done the same thing.
He pinched.
He liked winding people up, didn't he, Matarazzi?
Matarazzi is trouble.
Matarazzi, yeah. He loves winding people up.
Jack! So you also like winding people up?
Usually. I do like winding people up. Love winding people up. Love pinching people, which has made lockdown very hard.
Yeah, difficult time for you.
Difficult time for me. I thought it was really good. I think I like Steph, I thought this is going to be like a really hard-hitting book. And then I think it sort of peters out a little bit, weirdly. In certain places, you're like, this is going to be like edgy and cool. I'm going to find out loads of stuff. There's not very much... He doesn't really seem to have much like fun in it. Like, there's very, it's because he's had a very sad and upsetting career in a lot of ways. So it's not going
keep
to
it
be
like
fun
Jack.
For that reason. But like, bit, it is really weird because like a lot of funny things happen in this book, but he also seems to be entirely miserable, and that makes it quite hard to read.
It's like a therapy session.
Yeah,
it's like he's written down his sessions with Steve Peters and publish them.
And I suppose for the first, like, 10 pages, that's really interesting. And then it sort of becomes like this, oh, my God. It becomes quite hard to... There needs to be light and shade.
Like you're at Man City, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, it is for that reason. There's a lot of bits where you're just like, oh, come on.
But, you know, it did change my opinion on him, to be honest. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you about my copy of the book.
It's go on.
I've got an ex-library version. Apparently, Craig Bellamy is very popular in Lutterworth, Leicestershire. There's It's rented out 5 different times in Leicester.
And do you think that was every time Craig Bellamy was linked with Leicester?
Yeah, maybe. Well, I looked up Lutterworth. I've been there, but it was apparently, I didn't realise at the time, it's only like 30 minutes from Coventry. So maybe a lot of Coventry fans, perhaps. They're going to be disappointed because there's not that much Coventry in the book.
I like them.
Yeah. If any Coventry fans who love Glade, they're going to really enjoy this book. Great crossover. But yeah, my book is massively plasticked up. It looks like... It just saved from dust. Yeah, it looks like, you know that scene in American Psycho where Patrick Bateman lays down all that plastic on the floor? All the way through that, I felt like that. And the reason I bring that up is because I wanted to make a real loose segue to films. Because I don't really know why Craig Bellamy has called the book Goodfella. Has anyone got an idea on that?
No.
No.
There is no reason. There is no reason. But about halfway through, inexplicably, he says, he's like, I was playing it, you know, I was at Newcastle. And, you know, like, I could do anything I wanted. The only way I can describe, you know, like, we didn't have to queue for anything. We didn't have we were like treated like gods. The only way I can describe it, and apparently this is the only way he can describe it, is, and he basically says, you know that bit in Goodfellas?
Yeah.
And it would be fine if it was, you know, a bit in Goodfellas where they're all treated like gods. It was a bit like that. That's what this scene needed. Instead, it is a full page describing...
Blow by blow, yeah.
Blow by blow. I'd say like 10, 15 minutes of Goodfellas.
Yes. Yeah, it does become the novelization of Goodfellas halfway through.
It does, doesn't it? It's
very
really...
little justification, yeah.
I was expecting them to say that his nickname was Goodfella for some reason. He just compared being a footballer to being like Henry Hill.
Or that he was like Joe Pesci.
He is a bit like Joe Pesci.
Yeah,
he is,
I thought that was going to be the natural conclusion to it. And Craig, if you are listening to this, Craig, I love you. Please don't come and whack me. But, I live reasonably near to him. And yeah.
I mean, that goes for all of us, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Even those who don't live near to you, Craig, please don't come and whack us. Please don't travel
to Walthamstow to meet us out with a golf club. One of the reasons why I chose the book initially was because, why has he called it Goodfella? And sadly, I think people are going to be disappointed. There is no justification.
He just has.
In fairness, it's a great film and it's a great scene. So I did enjoy it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, the photograph on the front's really nice. He looks very good looking. The photograph on the back looks like he's waiting for a bus to go on work experience from year 8, to be honest.
Yeah,
Jack was just showing me, I haven't got the hard copy, but Jack was just showing me before some of the pictures.
So the back section. Cover, he's wearing a pair of white Adidas, some jeans, which are beautiful. I like the jeans with the turn-ups, that's nice, but a jumper with shirt and tie.
Yeah.
It smacks of... I don't know. He's going to work at the local newspaper as a T-boy.
He looks a bit like a prison warden, but then with trainers. Like, a prison warden has got uncomfortable shoes, so he pops on trainers when he walks home.
He's got four
He's one
arches.
Of those cool prison wardens, you know.
Yeah.
He treats the prisoners a little bit cool. He's not like the naff ones, you know.
The other thing I would say is, if you're going to write a 399-page book, do 400, mate. Come on, Jesus.
Yeah, tip it over the edge.
Pat it out. Yeah. Take us. We could do a couple more scenes from Goodfellas.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do the bit where the helicopter's coming in when he's off his head on coke.
See where they find all the bodies in various places.
Yeah.
Or like the garlic. Oh. Describe Alan Shearer cutting garlic really, really thinly.
Or with a razor blade. Yeah,
with a razor blade.
Yeah.
So, Steph, we discussed young Craig Bellamy a little bit. I want to talk to you about Craig Bellamy and the Wales national team, because he's very quickly in his career involved in the Wales national team. And obviously, you've worked at BBC Radio Wales over the years, a very long time, Steph, and you're a big fan of Bellamy as a Wales player?
I'm a huge fan of him as a Wales player. Huge, whatever the opposite of fan is, of him turning up to press conferences because of the intimidation factor involved in that.
Was he ever intimidating to you?
Not intentionally. Again, just the presence of the man. You know, there are very few people who scare the life out of you. Stuart Pearce always scared the life out of me whenever I interviewed him, because he could have me. And Craig Bellamy in a fight could have me.
Interestingly, Stuart Pearce, another person with a nickname after a film.
Very good.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Very good.
No, I always find him massively intimidating just as a presence in a room, because he's the kind of person where if you say something like, you know, how was the game against Finland, it could be oh, I'd love, you know, a really intelligent answer, or it could just be, what do you mean by that? And you don't know which way it's going. Anything could go either way. So I always, and I quite like that, but I also found it a little bit scary. But he was good and Welsh, so he was always going to be in the Wales squad from a very early age.
Of course.
Because at that time, we didn't have, I think, the sort of depth of players that we got now. Mm. But he comes in during the Gould era, which is my favourite for stories, my least favourite for football, from being a Wales supporter, because we were awful.
Yeah, it's in the book, it sounds like an absolute shambles. It honestly does. I don't remember it that well. I mean, what was this? So late 90s? Mid-late 90s?
Yeah, it would be. And he... He tells the story of how Bobby Gould challenged John Hartson to a fight in training.
That's so funny. Yeah,
because they'd had an argument about something. And he said, well, let's just sort it out. So he gets everyone to form a circle. And I've had this. This is a true story. This isn't just something that's kind of been hyped up. I've heard this from a lot of Wales players. This is true. This has actually happened. He got all the players to form a circle around it. Hartson apparently wasn't that keen because, in the same way Bellamy could have me, of course John Hartson could have an aging former Wolves striker in a fight. Of course he could. So this is sort of apparently the kind of thing he used to do at Wimbledon a lot. And it just is a big bundle, very undignified. At least two of the players I've spoken to also put a foot in on Gould while he was on the floor.
No way.
Because, because that was their chance.
It doesn't seem like a popular time there. I don't think any of the players really enjoyed it.
Bellamy says, oh, you know, I wish I could say this was unusual. This is quite a usual thing for Gould. So what, he just kept challenging people to wrestle.
And until
actually,
he could win.
It's worth mentioning that Hartson beat him up and left him with a bloody nose. So, like, he just kept getting beaten up by players, but kept doing it. Right, okay, me and you now are fighting right now. Everyone's watching. And then he got beat up and they just do it again.
If it's kind of for him to make him look dominant in front of the squad, him getting, like, the shit kicked out of him, like, every couple of weeks is not going to help with that, I don't think.
But he used to do these ridiculous things. So he thought, partly because, right, like I say, we only had a certain amount of good players. So when he'd play 11 against 11 in training, we didn't really have 22 players. So he'd wind up with the kit man playing at left back and the physio up front for the opposition. So he started playing games against teams that weren't international teams as warm-ups. So we played against Leighton Orient and we lost.
I've heard this, yeah.
Bonkers.
That's crazy.
And we played against Cumbran Town and he brought himself on as a sub, scored a diving header, despite the fact that he wasn't Welsh and he was in his mid-50s at the time. So quite what he was warming up for in that game, I don't know. It's a hell of a goal, mind.
Did that count towards, like, did he play for Wales?
No, but he used to, and they played against the media once as well. They had, like, a game, but the actual, before we played Germany, the warm-up that week was against the Welsh media. And Bobby Gould dropped someone from the starting lineup because they played crap against the press.
Wow.
So they didn't get to play against Germany because they didn't put in a good enough performance against someone from the Western Mail.
However, he did wrestle with someone from the Western Mail before the match.
he picked Vinnie Jones as captain of Wales because he asked the players to vote on it, and the players all thought it'd be a laugh if they all voted for Vinnie.
Yeah.
Because obviously Vinnie Jones shouldn't be captain of Wales, but Bobby just went, all right. And he was captain of Wales for an international game.
Gosh. It was a bizarre. I mean Bellamy himself doesn't have many kind words. He's very young at the time. Bellamy's what? He probably starts off 18 or so, I think, playing for Wales.
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, getting his first cap.
Slightly, yeah, about that age.
I think he's 17.
Yeah, I think you could be right. And but going through it, Steph, there was other much brighter moments which you must have enjoyed reading about. You know, the Mark Hughes era, for example.
The Mark Hughes era. He doesn't go enough. But Craig doesn't do himself enough favours here because he talks a little bit about the game where we beat Italy. But he doesn't really go into it because he scores one of the best international goals certainly I've seen from a Wales player. And Simon Davis has gone in that game as a belter as well. And you just think, yes, we beat Italy.
Yeah.
We need, I mean, now it sounds silly because we have qualified for the Euros since then, but we nearly qualified for the Euros in 2004.
Yes. Yeah. That was when
Italy were like, they brilliant were as well.
Good. And he just kind of glosses over it because...
Yeah, we were speaking to one of our producers, Steve, who is Welsh, just to give a little shout out to our Welsh producer, Steve. And he said, what did Craig say about the Italy match? And I was like, I didn't know it was as huge a thing, I guess, because I remember the playoffs, the Russia one, which he said was distraught.
I remember the Russia players. Yeah, but, yeah. That was really sad.
Which must have been a tough moment. But yeah, I enjoy any reference to Simon Davis, to be honest. If my dad's listening, my dad's favourite player, I think, of all time at Spurs is genuinely Simon Davis. I don't know if he does it as a joke or not, but he always, like, anytime, you know, like, I don't know, Bale or Son's not performing well, he goes, oh, bring on Simon Davis. That'll help. And I go, oh, God, it just annoys me. But I do like Simon Davis. And also, something else Steve told me. Apparently, yeah. Simon Davis played in the same village team growing up with David Gray.
Of Babylon fame?
Of Babylon fame, apparently, yeah, who I didn't even know was Welsh.
He's not.
Oh.
Being the main problem.
Did he like commute in?
Yeah, he commuted to play for them. Yeah. He was really, he got scouted by a team in Pembrokeshire to go and play for them on weekends. He'd travel up from London.
Yeah.
No, I think he moved to the area. He's one of those, there's a local, national newspaper called The Wales on Sunday. And there's this sort of thing called Being Wales on Sunday Welsh, which is a spurious link to be like Kylie. People like that, who's okay.
I see.
Your mum's from Merthyr kind of vibe. So David Gray would always be one of those, one of the ones from Coldplay, lived in North Wales. Oh, that
they're
kind
really
of thing.
Clinging on, yeah.
Yeah, trying to find something Welsh.
Like
which is kind of how Bobby Gould picked his squad, in fairness.
Yeah, it's true. And Kylie Minogue got 10 caps in that time. It's time for this week's Out of Context, Craig Bellamy. So, Steph, would you like to kick us off, Steph, with your one?
Right, so... When they weren't playing pool, they watched the History Channel. They were obsessed with crimes. More accurately, they were obsessed with criminals. They loved mass murderers. They were totally fascinated by them.
I adore that so much.
I hate to ruin No Context Club. And no, this is one of the main things. But is this about Martin O'Neill?
It's about Martin O'Neill's assistants, isn't it?
That's it. Martin O'Neill also loves true crime, right, apparently?
Yeah, yeah.
He's fascinated with the JFK trial.
Yeah!
Did
anyone else know that before? I was going to say that.
Martin O'Neill has some kind of... What was he before? Was he a lawyer or something?
He's a solicitor,
yeah. Like he's a PhD in something?
Yeah. I think it might even be criminology. He's got a PhD.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I knew he was sort of involved.
That's a podcast. Martin O'Neill solving crimes. That's a good idea.
Drunk Martin O'Neill solving crimes.
He goes to courts. Like, he just goes and watches random cases.
Does he?
Yeah, that's what they said in the book. He just, like, turns up. He's like, okay, I'll watch this. I'll watch this murder trial. Yeah, sure.
But imagine if you're on trial for murder. It's quite a serious moment in your life, I would suggest. Either way, if you've done it or haven't done it. Yeah. You need to concentrate. I don't know. Unless you resigned to the fact you're definitely going down. But you look to your left and Martin O'Neill's there.
Yeah.
Just taking notes with a packet of crisps. Just going,
yeah.
That's Celtic manager Martin O'Neill. Well, the idea that he would then like go up to the barrister and be like, well, if you play this formation, I really reckon you're going to get a much better...
Just passing notes down the line to them.
Yeah. I've got one here. I went to Malta for a week. I was the youngest person on the island. It's Gary Neville's favourite place, which says it all. What a slam. What a slam
what
to
a
both
slam.
Neville and Malta.
Yeah.
Quite a nice place. I've been there. I think it's got younger. I think it's got younger since. They tried to make it into a party island, I was told. Yeah, I brought the party to Malta.
You brought the age down.
I brought the age down a bit. James, any...
This is quite long, this one, but I love it. Okay, here it goes. I went to shake his hand as I was leaving. He stopped me. No, he said, waving away my hand. Hug. So I gave him a hug. What? Just the one word response. No. Hug.
No.
Hug.
So odd to me.
Again, can we reveal who that is?
Yeah, it's Freddie Shepherd.
The Newcastle chairman.
Former Newcastle chairman, yes.
Yeah. So
that's great, that segment, because it's
funny.
He's very annoyed at him for...
Everything.
Yeah, everything. Is it during the Sooners time? Yeah, and he wants it to prove that he wants to play for the club.
Yeah.
And then he tries to get rid of him. And then Bellamy says, I'm not letting you leave me. He's like, that's exactly the attitude I want. No hands. Bring it in.
Give us a hug.
You pass the test.
Yeah.
Come here.
Exactly. Yeah. He's flown off to play for Wales while he was injured, got himself more injured, I love. But understandably, Freddie Shepherd is not impressed by that.
And there'll be more Craig Bellamy after the break, including a dramatic reading and, yes, that golf club incident.
From Ronaldo to Messi,
Ronaldinho to Keane,
Gerrard to Aguero,
and so many more.
All the big names of the 21st century football are celebrated on this podcast. And how'd you find it? Just search 21st century football on your podcasting apps now.
Got that underwear range.
You've got a pair on now, haven't you, Stephen?
No. I soiled mine this morning.
Join YouTuber Statman Dave, Stephen Tries, Neve Pegg with the radio legend Adam Brown and me, Will Brazier. You know what to do. Search 21st century football on your podcast apps.
It sound right, boy.
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we're reading Craig Bellamy's Goodfella. And we're still joined by Steph Guerrero.
Hello.
Hey. Hey. We've talked about Craig's young life, and we had a little chat about Craig playing for Wales, but we've spoken less about his club career. And he played for a lot of clubs, as we mentioned at the beginning. So I'm going to go straight in with a dramatic reading. Steph, as the guest, can you say the words cue dramatic music, please?
Cue dramatic music.
Oh.
God, oh, really? God, that was great. You should do all the talking on this podcast.
Yeah, why are we even bothering weighing in when Steph's got that in his locker? Oh, my gosh. This story is called Craig Bellamy Accidentally Signs for Coventry City. Okay. Here we go. I kept thinking that I didn't want to sign for Coventry. I wanted to sign for Newcastle. This wasn't what I envisaged. But he also said that Norwich had given Coventry permission to talk to me and that the manager, Gordon Strachan, and the chairman, Brian Richardson, were driving down to meet me as we were speaking. I felt I couldn't refuse to meet them. I thought I'd just listen and then walk away. Oh, also, by the way, they're meeting him in some kind of like country house for some reason.
Not a service station.
Service station.
Yes. Yeah,
it should be a service station.
It's like Gordon Strachan just like Googled nice places of interest in the area. Oh, let's go there. Got a good cream tea.
Yeah.
Enjoying that. I felt I couldn't refuse to meet them. I thought I'd just listen and then walk away. I didn't have an agent at that time. I had a financial advisor called Jonathan. So I rang him and I asked his advice.
Well, I have no advice apart from get more money. What's your financial advisor going to do? What formations do they play up there? What style of football does Strachan play? He's an accountant.
I've got a good ISA for you. He was just as nervous about it as me. He didn't know what to do.
I bet he was. Of course he didn't. He's not a football agent.
Craig has thrown him in at the deep end here.
It's like phoning a friend, isn't it, where they have no idea what the answer is. It's like, I guess B?
Yes.
How certain are you? 10%?
I didn't realise you were a footballer. I'm just joking.
I met you once in HSBC. I worked behind the till there.
He just dealt with my financial stuff. John said he would get straight out there and make sure I didn't get stitched up. I got to the hotel and Strachan and Richardson were waiting for me. Strachan spoke brilliantly about football, his philosophy and his plans for the club. He was up front. He was up front.
I was playing behind him.
Yeah, it was getting to the end of his career, but...
This is how we're going to line up, okay, Craig? Yeah. I'm going to play up front. First things first. 3 more goals, I break the Premier League record.
Yeah.
Craig's there. Brilliant. I love it. I'm on board. Okay.
He said Coventry weren't a top Premier League club, but they worked hard. He said he would work day and night to help me become the player I wanted to become. He really impressed me, but Coventry as a club didn't. I had my heart set on Newcastle. Then things got messy, and it does take a turn. As I was talking to Strachan, John walked in with John Fashanu.
This is
circa 98 or so. This is probably when he was on Gladiators. Gladiators. This is probably Gladiators.
He turned up with Ulrika. Or
John Fashanu turned up with Jet.
And then Another One Bites the Dust started playing, and Wolf was there. Yeah. It was amazing.
Pyrotechnics.
I'd never met him before. I had no idea what he was suddenly doing, presenting himself at the negotiations for my transfer deal. I took John aside and asked him what was going on. It turned out he'd got to know Fashanu over the last few months. When I called John to tell him that... this is in Norwich, by the way, and I think Fashanu... Is he from Norwich? I mean, Justin Fashanu obviously played for Norwich.
Brother so
did John
yeah.
as well?
John may have been at Barry Town at the time, because he'd taken over... If his financial advisor was from Wales, Fashanu for a short period took over Barry Town. So he might have met him. I don't know, maybe he was negotiating a loan to buy Barry Town. I don't know. That this may have been how the link-up happened.
Wow. This is the kind of context we weren't getting from Glenn Roeder's Christmas tree set. So this is great stuff.
However, imagine how freaked out you'd be if some random footballer from the late 80s, early 90s turned up who you'd never met before.
Especially one of the crazy gang.
You've got your bank manager coming down to advise you. Yeah. And he turns up with an actual footballer.
He phoned him to ask for advice, and before he knew it, Fashanu had invited himself along as well. He said he would come along to make sure I didn't get taken for a ride and offered to look over the contract while at the hotel. John Reed didn't know what to say, so he accepted this offer.
He's definitely there just for the cream tea, isn't he? Are you going to that lovely country man?
I'm in. After they'd gone for a little while, Strachan marched over to where John and I were sitting. Craig, what's your arrangement with John Fashanu here? I haven't got a clue.
What's he doing here? got a clue.
That's a strange situation. You know, he might be trying to get paid money for this, Strachan said. He could want a percentage. I didn't know if this was true, but I looked over at John and his face went white because I think he realised how embarrassing this was. He went to speak to Fashanu and left me with Strachan. I'm sorry, I said. This is a mess. It's nothing to do with me. My brain felt scrambled. Strachan was a decent bloke. I didn't want to appear like an idiot in front of him, but this all looked so amateurish. I felt guilty. I felt embarrassed. It was just a nightmare. So Craig signed for Coventry City.
So to save embarrassment.
Yeah.
Out of social awkwardness, he moves club.
I couldn't ask John to leave.
I can relate to that. Yeah. I'd probably do the same thing.
I feel bad. I've wasted your time. Yeah. I've introduced you to a late 80s striker that I don't know.
Yeah.
He's not part of the deal. My financial advisor says the deal looks kosher.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again,
I don't understand how John Fashanu was going to get a cut of that deal. I was like, well, I've turned up here, so I need 10%. Like, how does that work? What was his role in that?
One of the weirdest dramatic readings we've done, I think.
Very weird.
Yeah. How do you sign for a club? That's not possible, is it? That can't be what happened.
It can't be.
Are you saying that Craig Bellamy is an unreliable narrator? Steph?
I am not saying that because, as I've already established, I don't want to get beaten up by Craig Bellamy. Thank you very much.
James, there was another time in Craig Bellamy's career that you particularly enjoyed. A place close to you.
Yeah, pretty close. I lived there for a long time. I really loved the Newcastle era, particularly the beginning of it, just because of the dynamic between all the different personalities when he first arrives there. So there's Bobby Robson, who comes across as like a friendly, wise old teacher.
He comes across brilliantly. I love him.
He really does.
There's a bit where Craig Bellamy says, "I thought of him as a kindly grandfather," which is so lovely.
I think so many of us think of him like that, though.
But fundamentally, a very weird way to think of your boss. Let's be honest. Oh, it's my old boss grandpa. Hi, boss grandpa.
I love like Bobby Robson's whole like, you know, son, walk with me.
Yeah, and he loves the word son.
I loved all that. But then you had John Carver, who was a coach, who was like a big kid. And him and Bellamy had this weird relationship. But Bellamy must have been sort of early 20s at the time.
Yeah.
And they were like best friends, had gotten nights out together, which I didn't fully understand why they were such good friends.
I don't remember that bit in the book.
Yeah, he said we used to go on evenings out together. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I remember he used to go out with Dyer and Carl Court, I think, were some of the people. Yeah. And John Carver tagged along as well. Nice.
John Carver, yeah.
Nikos Dabizas, I think he mentions as well, was another one he brought.
And then the Shearer, who's a sort of like distant, he's described as a sort of self-absorbed, distant character, a bit cold.
Very interesting relationship. Because Bellamy suggests that there's some kind of rivalry between Bobby Robson and Alan Shearer because they're both Tyne heroes.
But you mentioned Kieran Dyer, James, who he becomes really close friends with, but what really made me laugh about his relationship with Kieran Dyer is they were really good friends at Newcastle, but even when he left Newcastle, Kieran Dyer was just like became his personal assistant for some reason. I was like source of news. He was just,
yeah.
It was very weird.
Well, source of news that was already in the newspapers most of the time.
Yeah.
It's like Craig couldn't be asked to go to the shop.
Yeah.
And Kieran would text him, because you'll never guess what they've written about you now.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Hang on, let me go to the newsagent. Yeah. Hang on, go to the garage.
Back in a bit.
Have a look at it for you.
I mean, where was Kieran Dyer when, this is a little bit later, this is when Bellamy's at City, I think, when they're talking about it being Hughes' last game, Mark Hughes' last game, if he doesn't win, he's going to get fired. And Dyer's feeding him this information. Dyer must have been, where was Dyer at this point?
He wasn't there.
West Ham, yeah, maybe West Ham.
Why was he texting him this, like, oh, they're saying it's going to be Mark Hughes' last game, Bellas. You better save him. Why are you getting involved, Kieran? Just focus on your own football.
Kieran Dyer was very prominent in this book. And the thing I liked most about Kieran Dyer, going back to Bobby Robson, I love their relationship in this book. Kieran Dyer and Bobby Robson have the most explosive relationship. It's a bit like, it reminded me of a Spanish soap opera. They're kind of, one second they're yelling at each other, and the next they're like all over each other, like totally in love with each other. Basically because, as Craig thinks, they're both loosely connected to Ipswich Town. But yes, even though they had, they had no connection there at all, really. I think Di was a Ipswich kid, and Bobby Robson obviously managed Ipswich, but decades before. And
there's no link at all.
Yeah, and
no, hang on. I lived in Ipswich for a while, and I think that if you've lived in Ipswich, you have a connection back to Ipswich, even if you've long after their left.
You've lived through that.
The one-way system is a nightmare, and I think you bond over that.
It's like me and Jonathan Woodgate. You know, we're both from Teesside. We see each other now, just a nod. We both know.
He doesn't want to talk to you. He'd embarrass both of you, wouldn't it? Just a nod of acknowledgement and walk on.
That's all you need.
Yeah, they're all just like big kids, aren't they? I mean, this is a prominent theme throughout all these football books. They're like high school children. The way they deal with things, the way they bicker, the petulance. It's quite funny.
But even Bobby Robson's approach to when that John Carver thing kicks off in the airport and Bellamy has a big fight with him and they're rolling around behind a press conference.
You can hear like stuff going on in the background as they're talking about like tactics. You can just hear this like...
It's funny though, because with that fight with John Carver, there's a point where Bellamy in the book says, I've got it here. He says, a fight isn't just fist, it is what it is. Whatever you can get hold of, you get hold of, which brings us on to a famous moment with Craig Bellamy, quite nicely, further on in his career.
Are you doing segues on the show now,
Jim? Yeah, I'm doing a segue. I'm dipping it. I spotted a moment and I went for it.
Let's go for it. Let's add the doodaloot doot dood. Because I'm not having anyone put on segues in my show, apart from me. I'm the only one doing it.
Yeah, let's bring the section to an abrupt end.
Jack, a segment that no one has mentioned yet, the golf club incident.
The golf club incident. And this is I've looked it up. We've done however many books, 40, whatever it is. This is the fourth time this story has come up in these books. This is probably the most repeated story in all of the books that we've done.
This and the Champions League 2005 final. And so much the 2007 one comes up a lot. Yeah, we read too many Liverpool books is basically what we're saying.
That's basically what we're
we definitely read too many Liverpool books.
It's great though, because not to bring more film references into it, but to do that exactly, it's like on Jackie Brown, where it's sort of you see that scene repeat from like different angles and different perspectives.
Because of that exact reason, I've sort of been doing a deep dive into our old books that we've read. And looking at like the inconsistencies of the story. So very quickly.
Do you have any like crime music playing in the background?
Yeah, I want the theme from Serial. Can we get that?
we can't get that. But
legally, no.
Yeah, we'll get the nearest thing possible, royalty free.
So, hi, I'm Sarah Koenig. I mean, Jack Bernhardt.
Okay.
This is looking at Vale de Lobo, the Vale de Lobo incident. These are the facts that we know. In 2007, Liverpool go on a training expedition to the Algarve, where they have a party out doing karaoke. During the karaoke, John Anurisa and Craig Bellamy have a little scuffle over something. Back home, John Anurisa goes back to the apartments where they all live. Craig Bellamy gets very angry and turns up in John Anurisa's hotel and hits him with a golf club. These are the facts. This is what we know.
Yep.
So we've got four different editions, four different versions of this book. We've got Jermaine Pennant's a version.
Yeah.
We've got Stephen Gerrard's version. We've got Craig Bellamy's version. We've got Jerzy Dudek's version.
And go back and listen to those episodes, guys, as well.
Go back and listen.
Some good promo.
So Jermaine Pennant claims that John Anurisa is saying to Craig Bellamy, go up there and do karaoke. Go up there and do karaoke. You should go and sing a song. Craig Bellamy says, no, I don't want to do a song. And John Anurisa says, oh, you act like a hard man, eh? I hate you. I punch your lights out. And then leaves. And then Craig Bellamy later on...
Good impression of John Anurisa.
That was really good.
He genuinely calls him a hard man. You're like, I don't think John Anurisa's ever said hard man in his life. So then Craig Bellamy gets really angry, gets a golf club and starts smacking like John Anurisa over and over again with this golf club. John Anurisa has like blood pouring out of his face. It's awful. But we all know that Jermaine Pennant is a liar. And cannot be trusted. In anything.
Yep.
So we can discount his story almost immediately. Steven Gerrard's version, he says, there was a bit of handbags between Craig Bellamy and John Arne Riise, and it ended up that Craig Bellamy hit him with a golf club. Anyway, and that is basically...
Moving on.
All he says is, like, moving on, we won against Barcelona. It
what
was great.
Does he talk about in that book, Gerrard? Because it's 500 pages long, and all the stories seem to be really, really short. Yeah.
In Craig Bellamy's version,
yeah,
and I think this is probably the one that we're going to have to say is so far canonically accurate. Craig Bellamy's version, he says that John Arne Riise was supposed to go along to a Christmas party that was done earlier. He said that he couldn't go. He had something to attend to back in Norway. Turns out that was a lie. John Arne Riise just didn't want to go. The Liverpool players found out and said, okay, next time we have a party, you've got to sing and do like karaoke in front of everyone. Craig yeah. Bellamy at this party gets a bit drunk and says to John Arne Riise, go up in there and sing. Go up there and sing. John Arne Riise says something like, I'm not singing and I hate you, and runs off. Craig Bellamy says, I'm not having that. How dare he say he hates me? And turns up with Steve Finnan in... Steve Finnan's, like, dragging him away, but Craig Bellamy still goes into John Arne Riise's room, and he claims... Let's see. I've got to get the exact phrasing here. He says... Ginge was in bed. I just whacked Ginge. Him across the yeah. backside with the club. You couldn't really call it a swing. It was just a thwack, really. If I'd taken a proper swing, I'd have hit the ceiling with my back lift. Here are the facts. It's apparently just a little thwack. Nothing too big. Nothing too major. He couldn't have looked too aggressive. It was just a small hit. There's
thwack
nothing too bad.
Thwack sounds painful.
Thwack yeah. does sound painful.
Thwack sounds like Batman from the 60s.
It does. Kind of yeah. yeah.
But crucially, now this is crucial, and I know this has been going on for ages, but just give me my own spin-off podcast at some point, and I'll make a much better version of this. So he says that Rafa Benitez and Paco, the fitness guy, weren't too bothered because apparently Jerzy Dudek had been fighting in a bar and he'd been arrested, and Rafa Benitez had to bail him out. So therefore, Craig Bellamy thinks, I'm in the clear because, you know, Jerzy Dudek's done something much, much worse. It's fine. So it sort of implies that Jerzy Dudek has done something terrible that should have got more attention. But there is a fourth, most crucial...
we're going back to A Big Pole in Our Goal, the Jerzy Dudek.
A Big Pole in Our Goal by Jerzy Dudek.
Yeah.
He claims...
I do feel like I should have said earlier that if we're going to carry on with these court proceedings, Martin O'Neill should probably be here. But it's too late now. We're too far in.
I have to repeat the whole thing to him, so it's no point in doing it. Jerzy Dudek says that he left the bar at like 2 in the morning and thought he didn't have his camera. So he tries to go back into the bar to get his camera. And the security guard says to him, I don't have your camera. Go away. Please leave. Jerzy Dudek fights him for a bit. Daniel Agger turns up and says, I've got your camera, mate. Jerzy Dudek doesn't believe him. Still fights him. Then, but this is the important bit, Jerzy yep. Dudek goes home. He goes back to his apartment.
Not to prison.
He goes back to his apartment with Pepe Reina. At about 2 in the morning after this event, Jerzy Dudek says, I should go apologise to that security guard.
No, you shouldn't.
Now, arguably this is the biggest mistake that Jerzy Dudek makes, because Pepe Reina, as he's right to point out, there is no way that security guard is going to be standing next to the club that he has now left, because the club is closed. Jerzy Dudek won't listen to reason.
Yeah.
Gets out of his room.
Yeah.
And then is immediately tackled to the ground by policemen.
Were they waiting for him?
Well, he's tackled to the ground.
How many wells are we getting in this?
We're getting a lot of wells.
We really are.
He gets tackled to the ground. He gets handcuffed. He says that the policemen are waiting there for him because they've turned up hearing that there is a strange man holding a golf club swinging it around.
No.
So Craig Bellamy's version of events is inaccurate because why would the policemen go and attack Jerzy Dudek if they weren't called there in the first place?
Oh, this is
Craig
interesting.
Bellamy.
Very good work.
I'll be honest, I was wondering where it was going, but... That's really. I mean, we're gonna have to read John Arisa's Running Man.
We have to read John Arisa's.
Yeah, to get the other side of the story. What was it like at BBC Radio Wales when that happened, Steph? Were you there at Radio Wales?
Yeah, I would have been sort of maybe BBC Sport Online even at that period. And it was Cardiff was rife with rumours through the grapevine that he was going to try the celebration that he then tries.
Yes.
So. I know rumours of people who had a serious amount of money on him scoring against Barcelona and also a subsidiary bet of celebrating with a golf swing.
Ah,
that's fascinating.
I spoke about it at the time as well with my brother. I said, I need to put that bet on because he'll do it 100%. It always happens, you know, stuff like that. And he I didn't put the bet on.
Although watching the goal back, his claim that it went over the line before Dirk Cout puts it in. You can claim it if you want
to. The narrative! Yeah, the narrative, Steph!
Dirk's not getting a golf club out. Steph, was there anything else you wanted to bring up from the book before we came to a close?
It peters. It peters out. He goes, and then I went to the Olympics, and then Cardiff got promoted. I was like, mate, come on.
Yeah.
There's a bit more there. And then Vincent Tan changed Cardiff's traditional kit from blue to red, and I was fine with it.
Yeah,
because he was my boss. Come on, mate.
Yeah.
Having been so outspoken about everything else up to that point, you are just like, surely you can say, I don't agree with that.
He justifies it because he kind of says, like, he's a fan of people who understand branding or something. basically,
and that's what I think about Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, Craig Bellamy is a PR mastermind.
he'd have been all right with the Leeds rebrand, the last of the day.
Gosh, I forgot
he'd be
about
cool
that.
With that.
I feel like he just runs things through Kieran Dyer and just sees what he thinks. And
Kieran
then goes,
Dyer, his financial advisor, and John Fashion, who all said it was fine. So they went with it. It was perfectly good.
Like, just agree with it. It's probably fine. John Fashion is here, and I don't know what he's doing here. He's brought Wolf. Oh, God.
We're one of those big earbuds. Massive cotton earbuds ready to hit someone.
Steph, did the book change you?
Did it change me? It made me more scared of Glade than I've ever been before.
Yep.
I'm going to be much more cautious with my use of air freshener. I would say it did change my opinions about Craig, but then I've always liked him anyway.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean I don't like him now.
I just understand him.
Yeah, now I dislike him. No, yeah. I understand him slightly more. I'm not sure he understands himself.
And I think that I think he's very upfront about that throughout, to be honest. I think he's always saying he's learning a lot of the time because I can't remember the name of the psychologist he brings in, but he says how he changes his life effectively all the way through it. And
Steve Peters,
That's it. And he says how he goes from understanding where the anger comes from and trying to harness it. And I think he is on a learning. He's learning all the time throughout it, and he talks about that with his marriage as well throughout. And I thought that was I didn't mind that so much that he doesn't know himself. I thought it was interesting hearing someone trying to understand themselves.
I don't think he knows how good he was at football.
Mm. Yeah,
is the other part.
I think
he thinks he was blagging it.
Sometimes he was confident in ability, and then other times he really doubted himself. He went between the two quite a lot. He sort of he had a bit of a like identity thing, I think.
Yeah. Which isn't something I would think when I think about Graham.
No, because you assume he's going to be really cocky and really arrogant, and that's why he's chippy. But he's probably being chippy to get the extra yard because he thinks that he hasn't got that in him.
Yes,
and that's weird because he was great.
Rating out of 10, Steph.
6.5 Seven.
Okay.
Because he might listen. Seven.
Okay, so that bumped it up a half. I'm giving 8, actually, because it did change my preconceptions of him, and I'm not justifying it to you guys. I liked it. Jack, what about you? What did you think?
I'm giving it a 6 because I want to fight him.
Whoa.
Wow.
I don't want to fight him. Please don't fight me.
Please don't fight me.
Called you out, Craig. James?
Also an 8.
There we go.
Yeah. So enjoyed it.
Where are we at on the leaderboard?
So that is 29 overall, which is 7.25. I think he's level with Neil Redfern, which makes it sound unimpressive. But Neil Redfern's book was quite good.
Neil Redfern's book was genuinely really good.
Yeah.
There you go then.
I think it's fifth. Joint fifth.
Good. I feel all right with that.
The quiz this week, you're all named after other films Martin Scorsese is well known for. So, Steph, you're Raging Bull. Jack, you're the King of Comedy. And James, you're the animated classic Shark Tale, which Martin Scorsese provided a voice for. So,
perfect.
Shout out your new name when you know the answer. Complete the sentence. I am 5'6" tall, but I'm telling you this. When I was standing in that tunnel with Bobby Robson, I felt like I was...
The King of Comedy?
Please.
Didier Drogba?
Is correct. Very good.
Yes.
And that bit is so... Because you do expect to be like, okay, like 8 foot tall. And it's like, no. Didier Drogba. Say
a very specific tall footballer.
Question number 2. At the famous karaoke incident we've already discussed, what song does Craig sing to a...
Raging Bull.
Raging Bull.
You're Gorgeous by Baby Bird.
Is correct.
What a ridiculous thought.
And he does it to to like a reserve goalkeeper who he says is like, you know, he's a nice guy, but he looks, let's just say, rather rugged. pointlessly mean, Craig. Pointlessly mean.
Question three. What country does Craig Bellamy set up a foundation in to help less fortunate young footballers?
The animated movie classic Shark Tale.
I like how you have the whole thing. You could just say Shark Tale, but yep.
Oh, right. I thought you made it needlessly long for me to say the long version. Sierra Leone.
Is correct. Yeah. Well done, Balgin.
That's a great bet.
Question number four. Another great segment. How much does Craig Bellamy offer the Derby players if they manage to beat Norwich when they're challenging with Cardiff for promotion?
The King of Comedy.
Yes.
Is it 30 grand?
Very good.
I don't think, because that's such a large amount of money.
It's a lot. He goes like, split it between yourselves. He says like, go for a meal. I was like, a meal doesn't cost 30 grand.
Go where?
Yeah.
And that was in the days of like Orange Wednesdays. He probably could have got all that. a squad of 30 for about 20 quid, probably. Here's a code. Look, Robbie Savage, here's a code for Orange Wednesdays. They can see a film and get some dough balls for that.
we're committed to play now. We will absolutely nail it.
And finally, Goodfellas was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, outrageously winning just one. What for?
The King of Comedy?
Yes.
Makeup?
No, it's one of the big ones. Not the big ones, but...
Raging Bull.
Yes.
Best Supporting Actor.
For who?
One of the supporting actors.
Shark Tale.
Go on.
Pesci?
Rob De Niro.
No.
Pesci?
Yes. I'm going to give it to Steph because that is the exact answer. It is Joe Pesci winning it for that. So, Steph, you've drawn with Jack. And I have...
I'm the winner.
That's how it works.
As the guest, Steph is the winner. Steph wins.
Go and argue with your mum and dad about it, Jack.
Oh, God, they're going to hear about it tonight when they pick me up from our podcast.
Steph, thank you so much for coming on the show this week.
No problem. It's been fun.
Absolutely brilliant guest. Tell everyone why they should listen to Social Distance Sports Bar.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? I don't understand people who don't listen to it. I don't get it.
It's weird,
I don't
right?
get why would you not? What better are you doing?
I totally agree. I've only
listened to a bit, and I do now feel like I'm best friends with you three.
Yeah,
it's really
good.
Weird.
Yeah,
it's great. It's so nice.
I'm not sure Mike Bubbins likes me that much, but I listen to it. But, yeah.
I think he'll love you. I think he loves all of you. Really. He's just a troubled man. He's got a Bellamy autobiography in him, where he starts to understand himself. We did some best ofs. Give the best of a go. There's a best of part one, best of part two. Give one of those a go. If you don't like it after 5 minutes. We don't want you to listen. If you do like it after 5 minutes, give it a listen. There you go.
Another little thing, Steph. We're writing an autobiography for a made-up player called Andy Crabb.
Excellent.
90s noughties kind of legend.
Yeah.
Number thing. Yeah. We've had a bunch of guests who suggest a lot of things for him so far. So Tom Fordyce came on. And he's going to play for Sheffield Wednesday because of him. George Ellick the other week suggested he wants him to be a Championship manager icon. In 2001, who never fulfilled his potential. Anything you'd like to see Andy Crabb doing?
He played on the wing for Wales in that Cumbrian Town game. He did the cross for Gould to score.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is he a Welsh international?
I don't think he ever played full capped internationals, no. I think he played 21s, schoolboys for England, and then we kind of got him... After that, he always wanted to be Welsh, so he really loved his grandma, who was from Rhyl.
Ah, that's great.
He was so excited to get called up for Wales, and then when he found out it was against Cumbrian, he was
out. If you've read this week's book or any book we've read, get in touch. Get in touch about anything. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, and we're on Facebook. Plus, we've got that brand new email address, fbc@crowdnetwork.co.uk. Jack, James, and I are going to continue chatting about the book to book club members over on our Patreon. We're patreon.com/footballbookclub. Join the Football Book Club, and make sure you listen next week because you've got something very special coming. Coming Monday. No one has ever done this before. Football Book Club take on their greatest challenge yet.
I'm not sure I can go on.
As they read the ultimate literary trilogy.
I just cannot believe what I am reading here.
In person, off the record, and reboot. Football Book Club podcast read the Michael Owen trilogy, starting Monday.
Michael Owen on a log flume at Disneyland.
That's right, we're finally doing it. The Michael Owen trilogy, off the record, in person, and reboot over 3 weeks. And we're kicking it off with in person next week. How are you feeling, Jack and James? We're edging closer.
I want to quit the show.
See you later, everyone. Thanks. Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Steph Guerrero, Jack Bernhardt, and James Balgen. It was created by James Bug, and it was a Crowd Network production. Thanks to Craig Bellamy for writing the book, but where are they all now? Well, Craig retired with 78 Wales caps to his name. He's now an occasional pundit and hired Kieran Dyer as a full-time PA. John Fashanu has run his eye over every major transfer dealing over the past two decades, uninvited of course, and Bobby Gould and John Hartson still meet up every couple of months for a good old wrestle. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, for 20 minutes more Bellamy chat, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. See you then. Bye-bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.